Just in 2019, there was a change made to the rule for competent and diligent representation. So just to be competent, right? Not to be a great lawyer, not to be one of these superstar appellate folks we've seen on the stage today, but just to be competent, lawyers are required to become and remain proficient and competent in the benefits and risks associated with relevant technology. So that was added to the commentary in 2019 here in Texas. The ABA rules actually added that in 2012. So part of being a good lawyer is knowing how to use technology. Being a good lawyer is securing your client's confidential information. So we all need to know how to do that. There have been two ethics opinions that are relevant to what we're talking about today. This first one is Opinion 680. This is from 2015. And someone asked, hey, can we use cloud storage devices for confidential client information? Not surprisingly, the disciplinary committee said, yes, you can use a cloud-based services platform. But they did add a caveat. It wasn't just a yes. It was that lawyers need to remain alert to the possibility of data breaches, unauthorized access, or disclosure of client confidential information, and take reasonable precautions in using cloud-based systems. So don't just find the cheapest cloud-based whatever on the internet. You really need to be careful about what you're using. In preparing for this, David, he's currently in-house counsel for Dropbox, and he said even since, you know, this opinion in 2015, the cloud-based services have gotten even more secure. So I'll give a plug for cloud-based services. He said that they really are. I mean, their job is security, right? So if you get a reputable cloud services provider, you're being diligent. You're being competent with your confidential information. Another opinion is this about using email. Can we be sending confidential information over email? Well, I certainly hope so. I deal with email as a lawyer all the time and certainly do exchange client information over email. And the disciplinary committee said yes. But again, there's a caveat that we as lawyers need to be aware of circumstances. And in some circumstances, they create a duty that really should have us encrypting information. And later in the presentation, we'll talk about some of the keys to knowing when you should be encrypting an email. But I do a lot of government investigations work. I'm a former prosecutor. And everyone in our space knows that when you're sending information to the SEC, when you're dealing with DOJ or IRS, you're encrypting. You're sending very sensitive information, so you should expect to be encrypting client information. So let's get to some practical tips, right? We have an ethical duty to safeguard client information. We're on our computers. Everyone's got their laptop open today. We're on our computers. We're on our phones all the time. What can we do to really make sure that that client information is safe? This is something I've heard from lots of IT professionals. You really do want to have a unique password for each service you use. And a password manager is the best way to do that. The password managers will generate passwords for you. If you use a password manager, you know, it seems overwhelming at first. But once you get into and start using a system, it will actually identify for you, oh, by the way, you're using this one email on 20 different applications. So maybe we should change that. So they are very helpful. They can coordinate between your laptop and your phone. So just a very good tool that I recommend. And David, in particular, this was one of his strongest pieces of advice, is to get one of these password managers. It just will really, he put together the recommendations on this slide. So you can see there what he's recommending. This is probably tip number one that people should do that most folks actually aren't. Multi-factor authentication is another thing that you should be using anytime you're given the option to do so. Any of us who do online banking are probably very familiar with multi-factor identification, and it really is just a key to keeping the bad guys away from your information. David came up with a statistic that it makes it 99% less likely you'll get hacked. I mean, that's pretty dang good. So really, anytime you're on an application that gives you the option of doing the multi-factor, you really should take that opportunity. Here again, cloud services. You know, there was a time when every law firm had server after server rooms, and they really kept everything themselves. But that just has become impractical given all of the e-discovery we're doing. So using a cloud-based service is a way to make sure, rely on these professionals to keep your client information secure. This is one that seems so dang simple, but a lot of us fail to do it, to install updates on your devices as soon as they become available. Some of the largest hacks that you read about in the newspaper, turns out that if people had just updated their systems, they would have had a patch that would have prevented the vulnerability. So do take the time. At the large law firms, they basically force a restart update. If you're at a smaller firm or if you're a solo, it might be good to come into that practice yourself of making sure you restart and get all those updates at least once a week to make sure that your systems are protected. And then, of course, if you see on the news, Microsoft identifies a huge vulnerability, I mean, do it immediately, right? It's just good common sense that if the professionals are issuing press releases that we all need to update our phones or update our laptops, you should do it.